Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Gravel Notes, Autosport's World Rally Championship podcast. Coming up this week, we preview the Arctic Rally's debut on the WRC calendar as we move from Sweden to Lapland in search of snow. We take a look at the news from the World Rally Championship. We rant about essential travel. And we're joined by NASCAR rising star and former global rallycross driver, Austin Cindric.
Well, welcome to Gravel Notes, and it's the Arctic Rally, round two of the World Rally Championship. There's an awful lot left to be said, of course, after Monte Carlo in terms of the podcast. This is obviously a change from the schedule. We were supposed to have been in Sweden this weekend, but looking at the weather in Torsby, it's quite a good job that we're not. The locals in Torsby decided they didn't want to have the rally in case of increasing COVID situation, which was quite bad around Christmas time, as it was most places. A lot of the world is now in decline of COVID, but we do have, at the moment, 7 degrees in Torsby, and that temperature is going up to 11 degrees by Sunday, and there is no snow anywhere in that part of Sweden. So we've come to the Arctic Circle, we've come to Lapland, we've come to the hometown of Santa Claus for the WRC's second event of the year, where there is snow. But quite how much snow there is going to be is an open question. Talking to the teams today, before we get going, and they've been out and done the recce, and what they've seen from reccing is that already in places, patches of gravel are exposed. And they think that unless there is a major downpour of snow, and there might be after the first day, there might be a bit more snow come down, but it's still only a might. We could see quite large expanses of gravel exposed, and even in the Arctic Circle. And the Arctic Rally traditionally, and that's a great thing for the WRC, is how traditional this rally is. I mean, going back, looking through the winners, when it's been around at the European Championship or the Nordic Championship, you see the names Hannu Mikkola, Timo Mäkinen, Simo Lampinen, Ari Vatanen, Henri Toivonen, Ulf Grönholm, Timo Salonen, and Lasse Lampi amongst the winners. This is an absolute classic event. It's short, but it's sweet. It's also one of the fastest WRC events that we will see, with these cars being in there last year, possibly ever. It's an absolute flat-out couple of days. It's a short one, but it's super fast. And last year, the Arctic Rally was Kalle Rovanperä's debut for Toyota in a WRC car, and he won the rally. So some people are saying that Kalle is the man to beat this weekend. He's obviously got a fairly decent road position, and that helps when there is snow around. Sebastian Ogier is sort of tempering his enthusiasm a little, as he always does when he's first out on the road. But equally, people like Thierry Neuville, who starts third, is between a rock and a hard place in many ways. He is he's got his own teammates pushing from behind, and they are much further behind in the road order. And also, if he does manage to push on the opening day, does he really want to push that far and be in front of Evans and Ogier on day two? It's going to be an awful lot of juggling going on in Lapland this weekend. So we were all thinking that going into the Arctic Circle was going to be super duper cold, and all the talk has been about minus 20 to minus 25 degrees. And it was last month, which is when the Arctic Rally is usually held. Now it's about minus 7, minus 10 possibly. But it's getting warmer, and it's getting warmer day by day, and spring is on its way, which is good news for everyone, but not if you want to see a snow rally. And it's also quite tricky for Hyundai in particular, because they really had a nightmare in Monte Carlo, and the majority of that nightmare stemmed from picking completely the wrong tyres and then not going all out to repair the damage done by picking the wrong tyres first thing in the morning. They then compounded it by picking them less than optimum setups for the afternoons. So they were really, they need to come back, and they need to come back strongly this weekend. But all the indications are, and this is something that Thierry Neuville has confirmed, that they are going to have to be fairly lucky too. Toyota obviously knows the Arctic Rally very well. Robin Pera is a winner here. Elvin Evans, who's a very strong driver in snow, a very strong driver on those changeable conditions, as his win in Sweden last year showed. And also they've got Sebastian Ogier at his very best. He doesn't have that same emotional connection to Lapland that he does in Monte Carlo. He's from Gap, where the Monte Carlo rally was based, and it was his last appearance there, and bound to happen. He got maximum, he was brilliant, he was dominant. He doesn't have that same history with Lapland, but nobody does. And for a new event in the WRC's history, even though it's as prestigious and as historic as it is, he's going to want to have that victory, and he's going to want to see that boost towards his championship hopes in this final season. Now, M Sport went through an even more torrid time than Hyundai, if that could be considered possible, in Monte Carlo. Team leader Timo Sunninen obviously set the world on fire for the first two sectors of the opening stage, but he didn't get to the end of the opening stage, which caused considerable food for thought for team principal Rich Milliner and for team owner Malcolm Wilson. And they sort of indicated that they didn't necessarily think that Timo should consider his place in Lapland for the Arctic Rally to be a given. Well, he's here. He's abashed. He is probably fired up like nothing else to get to the finish, but also this is his big opportunity to really get some points on the board before we carry on with the rest of the season. He's had a horrible Monty. Things can only get better, but it's all in his hands, and the team will no doubt be making him aware of that. His teammate, Gus Greensmith, had, by his own standards, a horrible time in Monte Carlo as well. Gus is probably the most self-critical driver and the most openly self-critical driver in the WRC, which is fine and admirable, but he needs to get on top of himself a bit. It's a confidence game, any motorsport, and he's got to find that in himself and stop beating himself up, because it's clear he had some really great stages in Monte, one or two of them, just not enough of them, and he's got to be able to find that sweet spot in his concentration and how happy he feels in the car and make progress, because there are other youngsters coming through, and they are coming through on a mission. And amongst those is, of course, Oliver Solberg. Now, Oliver is, for the first time, in a full World Rally car this weekend in the second-string Hyundai 2C competition team alongside Pierre-Louis Loubet. Now, Loubet is a very, very good driver, a very strong driver, and he's clearly pretty strong both on asphalt, which you'd expect for a Frenchman, and on the loose. But I think Solberg really needs to deliver. He's only Octanek, a world champion, has got a movie to his name, apart from Oliver Solberg. And Oliver hasn't done a full-time championship for a couple of years now. He's been doing an awful lot of sort of PR appearances, and he rocked Goodwood's world when he went there for the Festival of Speed in 2019. But he hasn't, and isn't, committed to a championship. And yet, everyone is talking in terms of him and Calle Rovanpera being the dominant forces for the next 10 years or so. And it's quite true. It's deserved on both their accounts. They are both fabulous rally drivers. But this is a big opportunity for Oliver to really show us what's there. And he's got a strong teammate alongside him that he needs to absolutely brutalise in this next couple of days. And once he's got that under his belt, then we'll have a lot more to look forward to. I think at the moment there's still an awful lot of speculation and conjecture. There's an awful lot of PR. There's movies being made and there's Goodwood appearances, but there isn't yet a solid and consistent rally background. And every time he turns up, he's doing a hugely capable job. We've seen him in the top 10 overall on WRC events for pretty much the last 12 months. But that needs now to validate this opportunity, I think. At the start of the show, I said we're in Lapland for the second round of the WRC. And yes, an awful lot of people are. The essential people are. Autosport will, hopefully for the final time, be covering it remotely. Thanks so much to the teams and the organisers and all the PR staff involved to make sure that we have got access. And it's not just a rally this weekend. There's also a Formula E event. And I've seen on one or two social media feeds of people I know in the sport popping up going, look, here I am. I'm at this event, or I'm, you know, getting ready and I'm here. It's either in the desert or in the snow, and what's going on? And look at me, look at me. And that's the thing. It is that look at me. A lot of us don't need to be there. And so many hoops are being jumped through by organisers and by the sport itself. And our sport is on its knees at the moment. We are very lucky to have anything at all. We are very lucky to have rallies happening, and they are shorter, sharper, much more based around one point for a very good reason. We're minimizing our exposure to the outside world. So I would wish we could all look to ourselves a little. And are we actually essential? I think is a question that we should be asking. And hopefully, you know, as the next couple of months move on, we will start to see things lifting and we will start to see hope. But any infection that does come can surely only delay the restart for everyone. And our industry is not in a happy place globally, and we just need to do what we can to support it rather than to support our social feeds. There's also, of course, the WRC2 class to consider. Former Volkswagen and Hyundai WRC driver Andreas Mikkelsen is determined to be dominant once again as he tries to put together his bid to take one of those top seats that's going to come available, hopefully, at the end of this year. Andreas has taken the gamble, such as it is, to take what is a fairly healthy fund of sponsorship to the TalkSport Skoda team, his experience of developing Pirelli's WRC tyres last year, and use that clout to bring home the bacon in dominant fashion. And he can't just scrape by. He's got to absolutely dominate. Otherwise, questions will be asked. Mikkelsen's ideal outcome is to end up with a works rally drive next year. Now, this is something that could be stymied from the fact that Hyundai is yet to commit. And we haven't heard anything much from them of late, and we are going into a new era next year, and certainly Toyota and Ford have their test hacks up and running. Hyundai have bought the kit required to be able to build a test mule of a hybrid 1600cc rally car for next year, but they don't yet have the sign-off from Korea, from the parent company, from the boardroom, for them to go ahead and do it. And of course, every day lost at this stage is going to be reflected in pace next year. So as things stand, we've got Toyota with Sebastian Ogier retiring at the end of the year, Elfyn Evans out of contract at the end of the year, Hyundai is out of contract with both Thierry Neuville and Ait Tanak at the end of the year, and isn't confirmed to be part of the sport. So Mikkelsen in WRC2 really has nervous days ahead. First of all, he's got to absolutely destroy everyone in terms of his pace in WRC2, but based on Monte Carlo, I think you're going to see that. He's got to make sure that there's a team with a winning car that can take him next year, down to just Toyota, and he's also then got to fight the likes of Tanak, Neuville and anyone else for that seat. Interesting days ahead. But let's see how it all plays out this weekend on the Arctic Rally before anyone rushes to judgment. Anyway, we have got a rally this weekend. And one of the other championships, which of course has been going strong through the pandemic, is NASCAR over in the United States. And it's a really positive thing, I think, that's come out of the pandemic and the lockdowns and everything else, is that what little motorsport has occurred has been grasped by everybody. We're all watching different stuff. We're not watching what we usually watch because in many cases, it's not happening. And so a lot more people are being exposed to rally. A lot more people are being exposed to NASCAR. One of the major stars of NASCAR in 2021 is Austin Cindric. He's the defending Xfinity Series champion, and he's also the current Xfinity Series points leader, which is like WRC2. He also made his Cup Series debut at the Daytona 500 2 weeks ago and finished, 15th, having been taken out on the final corner of the final lap when he could potentially have come through the carnage and won. Unfortunately, as happens when you're only turning left, the carnage came up to where he was and he ended up in the middle of a fireball. But Austin actually came to Sweden early on in his career and drove for Ford in Global Rallycross and lived on one of the stages of our currently abandoned Rally Sweden. So he was just an ideal person to talk to, I thought, as we come into this weekend's event. So let's go and have a little chat with Austin Cindric about his world and ours. Thank you for making the time to join us. It's fast and furious for you guys with something happening every week.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the crazy thing, I just got to thinking about it. We've got every extreme of racetrack and driving style for the first three races of the year between super speedways, road course, and now we're going to Homestead, Miami, where all you do is run 2 inches off the wall. So it's a great way to start the year.
Does everyone do that, or is it just those that know the place really well?
If you want to win, you have to do it. It's very rare that you're fast without doing it. It's progressively banked racetrack, and you know, the more banking you have, the better grip you have, and there's no grip on the track surface. So the higher up you go, the more grip you have.
I mean, it's totally different discipline, but this is the rally podcast, but I mean, you've done so well, and congratulations on your title last year and the first two weekends as well, the first and the second. I mean, it's fantastic for you to carry that momentum.
Yeah, without a doubt. Obviously, that's the way you want to start. You know, I'm as competitive as I am, I'm still, you know, a little bummed that we didn't get the win last week. You know, we put ourselves in position and you get some late race restarts, and sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. I've been on both sides, so I'll get over it. And, you know, like you said, you adjust to the next week. I mean, I've got between this and the Xfinity stuff and the cup race I'm going to do, I've got four off weekends from now until November. So flat out.
Wow. Absolutely. And of course, made your cup debut. And up until you sort of found yourself driving into a miniature sun, it was going fantastically well for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, really up until the last pit stop, you know, we ran top five all race, which was probably above my expectations. You know, it's not every day you get to run up front in the Daytona 500. So obviously I've got a lot to be happy about. But once again, the competitive side of me is really, really bummed that we weren't able to be up front there when it mattered, whether if it was my teammates getting in a wreck and being able to, you know, be a contingency plan for the captain or trying to obviously make a difference or whatever. So yeah, obviously getting caught up in a big wreck and in a big fire and tearing up race cars is never fun, but yeah, great taste for my first going cup.
And was it always NASCAR that what you wanted to be? Was that what got you out of bed in the morning when you were a kid?
No, I mean, for me, it's race cars. I mean, I had every type of Hot Wheel car. I had every die-cast race car. You know, when I was a kid, I went to all the IndyCar races, and that was where my passion was as a kid, and that's what I was exposed to. And when I moved to North Carolina, I started to see NASCAR and NASCAR races, and obviously exposed as well on the sports car side. So for me, I've known a young enough age, or at least been told at a young enough age, that it's pretty challenging to make it as a racing driver, no matter what the discipline is. So my mentality was beggars can't be choosy. It's hard enough to make it as a driver. So I've had opportunities to go a lot of different pathways, and obviously they've led me here to NASCAR. But, you know, between my rallycross experience and my sports car racing and open wheel stuff, I mean, I've really enjoyed doing as many things as possible, and I've had success, and it's something that I want to keep doing.
Yeah. Funnily enough, about 20 years ago, I had a spare room in my house, and American drivers who were coming over doing Formula Ford tended to be in those rooms. And it's a very different attitude, your side of the pond, that, you know, if you're driving and even better getting paid for driving, you're sort of winning at life. A lot of
absolutely. what cooler of a job could someone have, you know? It's driving race cars to the full scale. Yeah, there's a risk involved and there's danger involved, but man, it's fun. It's an adrenaline rush. You don't get it from anywhere else. So, I mean, for me, it's whether if it's going out and racing on the biggest stage on Sundays or going go-karting in the middle of the week with Will Power and Scott McLaughlin. I mean, we're at each other just like it would be, you know, the highest competition. So it's fun. That's what gets you out of bed. That's what motivates you to work harder and obviously put in the work to make it count on the weekends.
Absolutely. And so at what point did you think, okay, I'm now going to try driving rally cars and I might even up sticks and go to Sweden? That seems like a tangent at the best.
Yeah. So when Red Bull GRC was getting started over in the States, you know, that they had some driver demo tests that they'd kind of, you know, ask around to promote that they're going to, you know, basically a gong show, if you will. And so I got invited to go out to Lake Elsinore, California, basically in the middle of the parking lot and drive around along with a bunch of other drivers, drive around, you know, a GRC lights car, you know, with OMSE running the show. And obviously I had fun. Who doesn't have fun when you drive one of those things? And there are some opportunities to do some races. I actually split the season with one of my sponsors. So Blake Fuller did half the races. I did the other half. And my first race was X Games and I ended up getting bronze medal and things went well. And that snowballed into racing full time with Andreas Eriksson in the following year. And Oliver and I obviously had a great battle for the championship. And those are really cool memories because obviously the rallycross isn't very prevalent currently in the United States. And I look forward to when it comes back because I know it will, because it's such an exciting form of motorsports, especially when you add in the element of electrification in the future. It's obviously the perfect platform for that. So I'm excited for whenever that next resurgence is. I want to try and be a part of it as long as my NASCAR career allows it.
Do you still keep up with it and stay in touch with the guys that you met during your time during it?
Oh, absolutely. So Andreas still has some business over here. So he'll come over here probably every 3 months. And, you know, I've got a project car right now. I'm working on a Volvo, obviously some Swedish inspiration there. I'm putting a Ford motor in a Volvo. So kind of best of both worlds for me. So Andreas will come over in here and help me wrench on the Volvo. So it's great fun. I mean, obviously I made some great relationships. I actually came across a picture the other day of me doing some sewing inside of the OMSE factory in Sweden. You know, and we're working, I call those guys the elves, you know, they never stop working. They wake up at 6, go to bed at 8, you know, so I came across a picture of me being an elf and enjoying the life in the Great North. And it was a lot of fun. You know, I learned a lot from those experiences. It definitely got me out of my comfort zone from what I learned before. And definitely provides me with some open-minded knowledge moving forward, because our NASCAR schedule is so versatile between the different types of ovals, but also the road courses, the super speedways. You know, the more you can adapt and react and change. And those are skills that I developed while racing rallycross.
Right. Right. And you were in Fiestas, I think, weren't you? And pretty much based on the M Sport car, but sort of on steroids for rally use, rally cross use even.
Yeah. So I got to do one supercar race in Seattle where I did race the M Sport Ford. And that was cool because that was kind of a one-off opportunity to run with a customer team that needed a driver for the weekend. And I think we ended up finishing fourth. And it was the team's best result. And my first time in a supercar. And definitely gave me a taste for more. I got to test a few times for a few different manufacturers over the years and never really was able to make the step up. And then obviously rallycross kind of went away in the US. So it's always been fun for me to watch, you know, how big it's gotten over in Europe and hopefully it's like I said, hopefully it's building more in the US here in the next couple of years.
And did you ever get to go out on one of the stages of a rally whilst you were in Sweden or go and have a look or just go hiking through the forest in something?
I definitely want to. It's definitely on the bucket list to at least go to whether if it's the Swedish rally or in Finland. I forget which one's kind of late winter. But whichever that one is, I want to go to it because it's such an interesting form of motorsport. Like I honestly don't have much interest in building a simulator to practice all of the things that I normally do on a race weekend, because, yeah, you know, that access to the Ford sim, and it's kind of monotonous, and, you know, I want to kind of get away from my racing. But I have a great, you know, project plan to make a proper WRC sim so I can go on my, in my house, and, you know, drive around on the rally stages. 'Cause I think it's fun. I think that'd be cool. A cool bucket list thing for me to do one day, to be part of a WRC stage and to do all that, go through all that, because it's a completely different mindset. And the guys that are good at that are pretty incredible.
I think NASCAR and rallying is fairly compatible. Everyone's very open, and, you know, everyone's there because they enjoy it primarily. And it seems like the two communities have a lot in common, I think.
Yeah, I think you're correct in that thinking, especially when you compare it to maybe, you know, WC or Formula One or some of that atmosphere. You know, it's very, you know, very competitive, very quiet, very aggressive on the racetrack. But you know, in NASCAR, and like you said, in rallying, you know, if someone's got a problem, everyone pitches in, everyone talks to one another. It's a big community, and that's fun. It's fun as a competitor. Obviously you have to weigh out, you know, how much you're either helping others or obviously, you know, helping yourself. But at the same time, it's great to show up at the racetrack and be looking forward to it, because, you know, you're with a group of people that are all of a similar mindset.
Well, I think we were supposed to have been driving past your old house in Sweden, because you said, I think you said once you lived on or close to one of the stages of the rally. Is that right?
Yeah. So when I spent time in Sweden, I'd stay at the Ericsson's house. And I believe, I don't know if it's a current stage or it used to be part of the rally stage, but yeah, so they lived off of one of the roads. And I guess Andreas had flipped his car once, his street car. They're driving home, so if that tells you the excitement and the aggression level there, but no, it's definitely something I want to get into again one day.
Well, yeah, because they've had to move it from Sweden because the Swedes decided they didn't want lots of people potentially with coronavirus coming to their forests, so we've had to go to Finland. It's in Lapland this weekend. It's actually the hometown of Santa Claus. So, okay, you know, we don't have Miami, we don't have, you know, good weather and all that stuff, but we do have Santa. So, you know,
that's the way. You got to keep Santa on your good side.
Exactly. We'll put a good word in for you.
It's rallying. It's weather.
Well, look, I mean, thank you so much for your time and for joining us and for entertaining us. And, you know, it's great to watch you. And we look forward to speaking to you after more success in the near future.
Yeah, thanks. Hopefully you get a rally car again soon.
So that was the view of Austin Cindric, the rising star of NASCAR, who's got a lot of rally heritage in his past. We're just about underway now in Lapland, and the Arctic Rally is going to be an absolute thriller. I think there's going to be an awful lot of strategy employed. I think that tyre management is going to be crucial, and that really that puts the pressure on the Hyundai team to really turn things around. If they can, it's going to be the boost they need as we start, hopefully, to get into more regular events. And yeah, let's look forward to see what happens. That was the Gravel Notes podcast for the Arctic Rally of 2021. Thanks for joining.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.